This is Making Stitches, and today's episode is all about appreciating granny squares with Heather Griffith of HG Designs Crochet.
I've just decided to go all in on the granny square now and just really champion it and just put out a whole range of granny square clothing. And you know what, at some point they might go out of fashion, but then in another 30 years time, in like my daughter's lifetime, they'll be fashionable again, so I'm not worried.
Hello and welcome to Making Stitches. I'm Lindsay, and this time I'm sharing a chat I had with the talented crochet designer Heather Griffith of HG Designs Crochet. Crochet can be a form of therapy for so many of us, but for Heather, it was using the craft as rehabilitation after an injury which set her off on a whole new adventure. At the time, she was at university ahead of training for a career in law, but now she's designing fabulous garments centered around the beloved granny square, as well as helping a new wave of crochet designers get started on their own journeys, turning their passion into a profession.
My name's Heather. I am the person behind HG Designs Crochet, and I'm the person behind the HGDC Hub. Basically, I just have people live their best crochet life. So whether that's through granny square projects on HGDC, or whether it's learning to be a crochet designer through the Hub, it's just all about celebrating and enjoying crochet, really.
Wonderful. I couldn't think of a better thing to do. So, I believe very recently you made crochet your full-time career. How did that come about?
I did. So, I am actually a qualified lawyer, and I have been working towards that for, I don't know, 5 years of uni, however many years of work. But I actually learned to crochet during my second year of university. And it was something that I would do in between study breaks. It helps keep my hands busy, and therefore my mind quite peaceful. And so I was crocheting a lot. And then when I went back to uni the second time to do my master's, I started my Instagram account because I really wanted to find people that shared my love for crochet, because my family would be like, yeah, that's nice, but they just didn't get it. So I started Instagram, and then from there it snowballed into I wanted to start YouTube, and then I was no longer just showing what I was working on, I was showing other people's patterns but my own, and then people wanted to make them. And so in August 2020 I released my first pattern, and I didn't really have any expectations, but it really took off and it really blew me away. It was absolutely great. And then I wasn't very well in December, and the job I had at the time didn't pay sick pay. You got like statutory sick pay, but not your actual wages. And so I hosted a sale on my patterns, and obviously the community really came behind me, and I just thought, you know what, I think I'm just going to do this full time. So I actually quit my day job in January, and I've been doing this full time ever since. So it wasn't planned. I knew back in 2016 I wanted to do something crochet to pay my bills, but I couldn't have told you then what it was going to be. And then it did just happen. I found how I was going to do it.
And it came along at the right time. It sounds like the community kind of just held you up at a difficult time and was there for you.
Yeah, they really did, because when you need to be getting better and then you're thinking about how am I going to be paying my bills, or that doesn't really help you sit back and relax. And over Christmas I was near bedbound, I felt that awful, but then to know that money was there and I was covered just really gave me that peace of mind. And then I just figured, I enjoy crocheting so much, why not make it my full time? Because in my day job I would be counting down the minutes until I could pick up my hook again, or writing down notes of things I wanted to do and put out there later on. So jumped in, and here we are.
That's absolutely marvellous. What an inspiring story. I'm sure there's so many people who are listening to this who have felt like that at some point in their lives, and you know, just looking for that opportunity to turn their passion into something to do full time.
Definitely. And I think originally I was going to try and do it part-time, and there just wasn't an option with my circumstances, and so just jumped straight in. And I am very grateful to the community for such a warm welcome and all of the support. I really am.
That's wonderful. And I guess you've had to be very brave to put yourself out there as well and explain that, you know, you were having a tricky time. Because it's very easy to keep pushing out Instagram posts and blog posts or whatever, just showing the best parts of life and the best bits of the crochet and not where it's gone wrong or whatever, but to actually be brave enough to, you know, say, look, this is what's going on. Can you help me?
It was really hard, but then I also knew that the community would be really supportive, and I knew people wanted my pattern. It was just I needed to find more people that wanted it. So I just had to sit there and say, look, things are tough at the moment, and on top of it, financially, like I'm starting to fall into a bit of a hole. Can you help? Here's a discount code. And even if people couldn't purchase it or they'd already purchased it, they shared it, and I really saw the power of Instagram and a community at work, because the amount of people that then came into my universe, it was crazy. But I did cry immediately after when I started seeing the sales come through, because there was a part of me that worried that I'd say I'm really struggling and everyone would just ignore me.
Oh, well, it was an incredibly brave thing to do. Can I take you back then? Because you said in the second year of university was when you first learned to crochet. Tell me a bit about how that came about, because I believe there was a reason why you picked up your crochet hook.
The reason I picked up my crochet hook is because I broke my wrist because of one of our family dogs, and then my grandmother taught me how to crochet to get the movement back in my wrist. It didn't fully work because my wrist is set wonky and it does click quite a bit, but I then became absolutely addicted to crochet and I rarely put it down. Well, I should say sometimes I don't want to crochet and then other times I can't stop crocheting, which I think is normal. My grandmother is Scottish and she has been knitting since she was about 4. She used to make her own socks because she had to back then, and crocheting, I don't know, maybe since she was 7 or the other way around. And it's one of those things, you see your grandparents knitting or crocheting, you don't really take an interest, but then the moment she taught me, that was it. I was absolutely addicted.
Can I just say, for the sake of listeners who can't see you at the moment, in the short space of time we've been speaking, you've done an entire granny square and you're working on to number 2. So, and that hook is going at, it's like grease lightning.
It does go pretty fast, yeah, once I get started.
Oh, well, I can say I've got something in common with you, because it was my Scottish grandma who taught me to crochet as well. So, although she didn't teach me to move quite as quickly as you've managed to perfect that technique.
I think because the sheer amount that I crochet, that I can now do the granny square without really looking. So yeah. That is just from years. I think it's been like 10 years now that I've been crocheting. I pretty much just make granny squares.
It's like muscle memory. It just comes automatically.
Yeah, definitely.
So where do you get your inspiration from? Because you've mentioned granny squares and your designs, your beautiful jumpers. Your revival jumper is just incredible, because I've long wanted to make clothing involving granny squares, but just feared I'd end up looking like a granny square blanket. But somehow you've managed to put them together in a really, you know, vibrant and fun yet modern way, so that you don't look, you know, wearing something like that, you won't end up looking like you're wearing something homemade. you get my drift. You've kind of nailed it as far as bringing it into the 21st century, definitely.
Thank you. I think I've always enjoyed making the granny square, and I started looking at other ways that I could use them, because I had so many blankets. I made a YouTube video called Blanket Stack, and it's like my most viewed, and it was about 10 to 20 different blankets that I've made. And there comes a point where you don't really need any more blankets. You like making them, but you want to try something else. So I was looking for designs, and like you said, it was either something really 1970s that I just couldn't pull off, or there just seemed a really real gap there. So I had a play with granny squares, but funny enough, because it didn't exist, I then thought it meant that people didn't want it. So for a long time, I tried other designs, other stitches, and I wasn't really into them, and I didn't really do them justice. And then I finally just did the granny square pattern, and it completely took off. And then I just realised that some people absolutely detest the granny square, but those that love it then love my work. So that is my niche. And I think had I have embraced that sooner, I'd be a lot more further ahead than I am now. It's one of those you look and you can't see what it is you want to create. So rather than create it, you think that no one wants it. It was a bit silly.
I think you've got to go on a journey, though. You've got to try all the different options first before you hit on the winning formula, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. And I want the granny square to be... I find the granny square very comforting because it is very mindful but very mindless, because it's the same repetitive move, and that is very comforting. And for somebody who has had a lot of mental health battles in the past, it's something that I can just grab, and it's quite soothing. And so I really want to incorporate them in things, but I want them to have like a new twist on them. So I guess I go for like the comfortable classic made new, I would say, is how I try and do it. Some of the granny squares that I just make completely wacky, just because now and then you just need to go crazy. But the majority are all something that you could wear now in like 2021, but you wouldn't feel like you said, that you'd be draped in your grandma's blanket.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that you'd put your YouTube video out with your stack of granny blankets, and you have had a YouTube channel for quite a long time now. At 2017, I believe, you started. So for anybody who's, you know, just discovering you, you've been around quite a while and kind of earned your stripes to be where you are today. How's your journey been?
I would say I started YouTube because I wanted the more interactive side, and I wanted to be able to show a bit more than what you could do in just a square, because back then on Instagram you didn't necessarily have the video features that you have now. And also I really wanted to represent a different part of crochet. I didn't really find anybody that looked like me that had an afro that was crocheting, or even really knitting, and so I decided to start. And I had a really warm welcome, but I was never one of those people that went viral, and I still haven't gone viral, maybe one day. So it's definitely not an overnight success. It's been a lot of work, and I think the biggest thing I've learned is to be consistent, because I would like consistently put a video out and it would grow, and then something would happen and I'd stop for a couple of months. So I would say I haven't been doing it, although I started in 2017, consistently I've been doing it since I'd say 2019, and then in the last 6 months or so, with the changes, my health and whatnot, that's now started to even out. So it's been great, and I'm really excited to see how much further I can take it with some real direct focus.
Brilliant. Now, it's not just your patterns that you work on either, is it? I mean, you're partway through a series of workbooks to help other people follow in your footsteps. Can you tell me a bit about that and what made you decide to take that route?
Of course. So I decided to start writing the HDDC handbook for the crochet designer, purely because once I put my patterns out, people then started to ask me, how did you do it? How do you do all the different sizes? And I was listening to a podcast. I love listening to podcasts when I'm crocheting. And I can't even remember which one it was, but the lady on there was saying about how digital products is another way to add an income stream to your business. And so if you are an expert or you have found a way of doing something, then create a digital product. So I'm sat there really late at night crocheting, you know, when you should be going to bed. And I suddenly thought, I could make a handbook so that people could also become crochet designers. So I stayed up till about 4 in the morning, planning it all out, all the different aspects. And I started writing it, and I've done the first part, which is how to size grade, so making sure that your pattern is from extra small to five extra large. And that became such a huge part that I actually split into the individual workbook. So that part is now out and available, and I'm writing up the second workbook, which is about publishing your pattern and then marketing it and all those sorts of things, because I very quickly realised that I'm a very organised person, and sometimes creatives are the complete opposite of that, and because that is my strength, I can help other people. So I am very process and strategy driven, so I put a lot of my processes in there, and I've got like grab sheets where you can just go and get all of the necessary formulas that you need. There's other grab sheets so you can like tick off the, so you need to start with the body panels, and then like it takes you through as an action point. And I realised that that was really lacking for a lot of people, because they need something to keep them on task. I think my uni and my law, my legal training is what has instilled that in me. So I've created that and put that out there. And it's just great to see other people's patterns now coming out because of it.
That's wonderful. You've obviously been a conduit to help people achieve what they want to achieve themselves.
Yes, I like to guide people and not so much coach, but definitely be a cheerleader and a mentor.
Now, do you think there is a market for more crochet designers? Because we are, you know, quite saturated. There are so many different styles and different things to, you know, to go at already. Is there room in the market for more people?
Absolutely. I think that crochet is just going to continue to grow, so you're going to have more people coming in and wanting to make patterns. And I also think that there's just, although there's a lot of designers, it doesn't necessarily mean there's a lot of different patterns out there, because when I was looking, I couldn't find the granny square patterns that I wanted to make. And I think every person has that within them, that they might not realize, but they have a niche that they fall into that really needs to come alive through them. So they might be really interested in something quite, what they think would be quite small, but they could create a whole range of patterns and create an entire community around it. And also the amount of people that are registered as users on Ravelry, I know not everybody can access Ravelry, but in terms of statistics, when I last checked, it was something like 9 million people. And when you think that's how many people have had an account and maybe half of them are active, that's a lot of people that are potentially purchasing patterns. And I know not all of them will be crocheters, there might be knitters, but that's a lot of people looking for patterns. And then if you add in how many more people are learning, I just think it's huge. And there's definitely, I don't know many people that see a new pattern that comes out and thinks, oh, that's it, I can't get any more patterns, I can't get any more yarn. We'll still keep adding to it, so.
Oh, you've hit the nail on the head there, yes. I think everybody's got a list as long as their arm of all the future projects that they want to work on. There's just not enough time in the day to get through them all.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think it is about crochet that captured your imagination so much and, you know, set you off on this journey?
I think I've always been very creative as a child, and got creative, a lot of creative women in my family. Like, my mum trained to be a dressmaker, and I've seen her making clothes, and I dabbled with that, but it wasn't quite for me. And I think with crochet, especially over knitting, it's quicker, because if you make a mistake, it's very easy to pull back. And my grandmother was, if you made even the slightest mistake, she'd rip it all down in front of your face. So crochet was good because you could pick it up really quickly, and it just gives you a lot of creativity. There's a lot of possibilities, there's a lot of things that you can create. And even within the granny square, I know it's just the same square again and again, but when you put in colour possibilities and the sizes and the different shapes you want it to make overall, there's so many possibilities. Every time I make one pattern, it gives me another three or four ideas.
So you've certainly not reached the end of your potential for the granny square then?
No, I have just released a pattern that wasn't granny square, and it was more of like using up your scraps and just used the half treble crochet or the half double crochet. And
is that the example jumper?
Yeah, that's right. And I really enjoyed it, but it just wasn't quite granny square. So I've just decided to go all in on the granny square now and just really champion it and just put out a whole range of granny square clothing. And you know what? At some point they might go out of fashion, but then in another 30 years time, in like my daughter's lifetime, they'll be fashionable again. So I'm not worried.
Definitely. What advice would you have for somebody then who has been bitten by the crochet bug too and is, you know, filled with ideas of things that they'd like to design themselves? What advice would you give to them?
I would say note down your ideas, whether you just sketch them, write things out and have like a designated notebook or area that you keep all of those notes. And I would say just try as many different patterns as you can, because once you've tried, I don't know, 5 to 10 different patterns from different designers, you'll have a really good understanding of how to put things together, and you just continue to learn to put into your own patterns. And just, even if you can't see a way through, just keep playing, keep crocheting, because you never know whose eye it might catch, whether a magazine might approach you or, and all these little things then add up to where I am now, I guess. It's not an overnight thing. It is a slow burn, but it's worth it, definitely.
You're very much a trailblazer, I have to say, and really inspiring. And as you said, please stop me if you're not happy with answering this, but you mentioned the fact that when you were first starting out, you didn't see many people who looked like you. It's so important that so many different parts of our community are reflected, because everybody crochets, regardless of who they are and what their background is. And I just think it's absolutely brilliant to see you there doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's... I just wanted other people to go on YouTube and find somebody that maybe physically represented them, or just a different face with a different perspective. And hopefully I've done that.
Oh, yes, I'm sure you have, with bells on as well. So what is the future for you and your designs and HG Design Crochet?
So I've got so many ideas. Within HGDC, the pattern side, I have a winter collection that I really want to put out. I would love to work with a particular yarn brand. I'm not going to say them. I don't want to jinx myself. I would love to work with a certain brand. I would love to have like a regular feature in a magazine, but ultimately one day I want my own magazine. When I was younger, even now, I just love magazines. I love getting a glossy magazine, flicking through. And I wanted to be a journalist originally before I decided to do law. So I would like to have my own magazine for crochet. And I would like to have just the biggest yarn shop you have ever seen. You know, like when we see footage from America and they just have these absolutely huge shops. I want one of those in the UK that's just absolutely full of yarn, and that can host like yarn festivals and things like that. And then on the hub side for the crochet designers, I want to continue putting out information and products and help other designers get started and reach whatever their measure of success is. So if they want to do it part-time, do it for fun, or full-time, and to be able to help them and share what I've learned. And I'm creating like a membership so that like-minded people can talk and share what they're up to, because one thing I've definitely learned with working for yourself is it's great as an introvert, so I don't have to deal with people, but sometimes it's just nice to have a group of people that you can turn to and they understand the trials of being a designer. So I'm in the process of setting that up, I just want to keep putting out information and helping people, because when I was trying to teach myself, I felt like I either needed to pay big money for a course, which I have no problem doing. It's just that I wanted to get started, and yeah, I just want to keep helping anyone that I can.
Blimey, that's quite a list.
It's a little list.
Well, I shall look forward with interest to see all these things get achieved over time. That's wonderful. And I look forward to visiting your huge, great big yarn shop and leaping through your glossy magazine. That would be absolutely brilliant. Where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram, which is where I'm most active. I am HD Designs Crochet and also HGDC_hub. And then they both have Facebook pages, but I'm not going to say that. I always update them. And I'm also on YouTube under both the names as well, and TikTok for the hub. So I would definitely say TikTok and Instagram is the best place.
That's wonderful. Oh, Heather, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. How many squares have you made? Is that number three?
This is the third one. I just need to put 1.5 rounds and I've made 3 in 26 minutes. It's not bad.
Well, no, considering you've had a an in-depth conversation at the same time. Mine wouldn't be looking like squares, I don't think, if I'd have carried on.
I don't have to think about it at all. I can feel whether the yarn's going over the hook properly or not. That's how I can just carry on. And I have seen some knitters do the same thing.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, you've got the knack, that's for sure. And it's utterly mesmerising to watch you doing it. You're so fast. Oh, Heather, thanks again very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks again, Heather, for speaking to me for Making Stitches. Whilst astounding me with the speed that you can rustle up granny squares, it was mesmerising. I'll include all of Heather's links in the show notes for this episode, so if you don't already follow her, you'll know where to find her. That's almost all I've got for you this week, but I do have a little bit of news. Since the last episode, I've heard that Making Stitches has been nominated for a podcast award. It appears in the Specialist Interest category of the Quite the Thing Media 2021 Podcast Awards for Independent Podcast Creators. If you fancy giving me a vote, you can find a link to the awards website in the show notes for this episode, and voting is open until the 19th of June. If you'd like to support the podcast in another way, though, a review on your favourite podcast app always helps, as it can bring Making Stitches to a wider audience. And I've got a Ko-fi page too, which will help fund ongoing podcast expenses. Thank you very much for listening. It's been great to have your company. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time with another episode for you. Until then, keep safe and enjoy your crafting.